Well, hi again, everyone. Here we are for another edition of the Hockey North Show podcast. It is the November 30th edition. This is Randy Russin, along with Brad Cacciamillo. We're broadcasting from our host site, 45 Social, in the Sioux downtown. Guests on the show tonight will include Cole McKay, former Sioux Greyhounds forward, now playing at the University of New Brunswick, and Cole Jarrett, the head coach and president and part owner of the Sioux Thunderbirds of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. They'll join us a little bit later on in the program. But before we go any further, let me begin by acknowledging the many sponsors of the Hockey North Show podcast. And it begins with our host site, 45 Social, located at 117 Spring Street in the Sioux downtown. It's a men's clothing store, a barber shop, a bar and cafe, and home of Lucy Rowe Clean Beauty. Major sponsor is Little Caesars, with two locations in Sioux, Ontario, Churchill Plaza and Market Mall. Salvan Developments of Sault Ste. Marie also on board as a major sponsor, as is real estate agent Johnny Glavoda of Royal LePage. Buying or selling a home, list with John Glavoda, 705-975-2975. Other sponsors of the Hockey North Show podcast include the Croatian Corner, located at Bruce and Wellington in the Sioux downtown area, Dr. Kevin Caruso, Northern Superior Brewing, fresh local craft beer, support local, support Northern, Pinnacle Hockey Management, Brewers Jansen and the Wine Barrel. They are located next to the Sault Ste. Marie Museum. The Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League back for another season as a major sponsor, as are some of their member teams, including the Sioux Eagles, the Blind River Beavers, the Espanola Paper Kings, and the Sudbury Cubs. And also on board as sponsors of the Hockey North Show podcast are two teams from the Superior International Junior Hockey League, the Cam River Fighting Walleye and the Dryden Ice Dogs. When we come back, we're going to hook up with Brad Cacciamillo and Cole McKay. He's a former... Oh, we're all ready to go with Brad Cacciamillo and Cole McKay. We've got them on the line right now. So Brad Cacciamillo now will interview Cole McKay. He's a former Sioux Greyhounds player, now playing at the University of New Brunswick. So we'll turn it over now to Brad and Cole.
Joining us now on the Hockey North Show podcast is former Sioux Greyhound and current UNB forward, Cole McKay. Cole, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you taking some time tonight to chat.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I guess first thing, obviously, you know, you're playing Canadian college now. You know, you're playing for a good program out at the University of New Brunswick. Maybe take me through just generally what it's been like in terms of making the adjustment going from junior to playing at UNB and you know, obviously the school aspect of it and different things. Take me through what it's been like here since you got there prior to the start of the school year.
Yeah, it's been a lot different for a number of reasons. Obviously, you throw in the full course load here. I've got five classes, four in class, one online, and that takes up a big chunk of my day, as it would for any student. So it's been a big adjustment that way. Just having to cram so many things into a day, but I love it. You know, it teaches you good time management skills, and you know, just growing as a person overall. And in terms of the hockey, it's awesome. The guys here are great. The hockey is very competitive. We don't play as many games as back in the O. We only play 30, so a lot more practices, but. Honestly, I think that's probably better for me right now, just especially with the team we have. We're battling every day, and we really get better in practice, and then use what we did all week to try and dominate the weekend, and so far we've been doing a good job of that. So it's been a big switch, but one I'm happy with and one I'm having fun with.
No doubt. When you look at you know, the way the season's gone for you, you know, you played 16 games out there. You put up good numbers. What you know, you make that jump to Canadian college. What's you know, what's maybe led to the on ice success for yourself personally? You know, in terms of playing so well in your first year out there.
Yeah, it starts with a good summer, just like any other year. And that's how I approached it. I approached it like I was going into another year of the O and, you know, trying to put my best foot forward. And I think for me now, I came here to win. We obviously have a really good team, and I think that's at the front of everyone's mind here, and that's the common denominator. And I think guys are just trying to go and do everything they can, like I said, all week in practice to push guys. And then into the weekend, we're just trying to be the best team and best players we can possibly be. And I think that team first and win at all costs mentality has been at the forefront of my mind. And, you know, honestly, the goals and everything, you know, that's secondary and that's just kind of been coming. And I'm happy I can contribute. You know, we take pride in being one of the top programs in the country, and if you can contribute, then that's always a bonus. But I think it's just a collective effort and the whole mindset of you know, just seizing the moment and trying to chase that national championship.
Right. And you've got a chance to play with another Sioux guy in Cam Baber. And, you know, I know in talking to Cam prior to the year when you guys, you know, decided to go out there, I know it was one of those things where, you know, you guys were saying that it wasn't, you know, obviously it wasn't planned that you guys were going to go out there together. And it was just kind of one of those things that happened in terms of you guys both choosing the same place. But what's that been like playing with Cam? I mean, obviously you guys have the history growing up in the Sioux, but what's it like, been like playing with Cam out there for your first year?
It's awesome. Yeah, we live together too, so we got the whole package going on, which is funny. You know, we grew up together. Me and Cam, we went to elementary school, played minor hockey, and obviously didn't play together in junior, but it's been so much fun having him back. I'm on our playing with each other, and it's just like old days out there. You know, we're always on the same line growing up, and we don't play in a line full time together, but there are some times in the game where we get a couple shifts, and it's awesome. I know our younger selves would be smiling and thinking that's so awesome, and it is. It's awesome to be sharing the experience with him, and even the off ice, just coming home and we do our meals together and everything like that. So it's just a blast having him around. It's a little taste of home. You know, we are really far away from home, but it makes it a lot easier when you got a good friend like him here from the get-go. And yeah, it's just been great.
Yeah. And maybe one final thing. What obviously there's you know, a lot of major junior guys end up playing Canadian college, but when you look at it, what's maybe some of the differences that you've noticed playing Canadian college compared to, you know, what you saw in your time in the O? What have you seen that's maybe a little different? And, you know, on further to that, maybe what are some of the similarities to what you saw in junior?
Yeah, there's, you know what, it's not too much, too many differences, sorry. Like, obviously everyone's a good player, especially out here in the AUS. There's a ton of good players, and every team you're getting a good matchup. And, you know, like I said, we only play 30 games, so everyone's bringing it. They're emptying their tank every night, and there's just a lot of physicality. I think that's the biggest thing. Biggest change for me is just the physicality and the consistency of it. Everyone's just trying to empty the tank and do whatever they can to win, and that's the whole that's the biggest difference for me. And in terms of similarities, just goes back to the skill. Everyone's skilled, everyone's really wants to win, and that's consistent, I think, everywhere, and especially comes from the OHL where there's plenty of skill. So I think, yeah, those are the differences and similarities, but overall, it's still high level hockey that I'm happy to be playing.
Awesome. Well, hey, Cole, I appreciate you taking the time tonight to chat, and best of luck going forward. And I look forward to catching up with you on the show at some point down the road.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
And sponsor identification acknowledgement for the Hockey North Show includes the Cam River Fighting Walleye, Saldan Developments, John Glavoda, Little Caesars of Sioux, Ontario, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, our host site 45 Social, the Croatian Corner, Dr. Kevin Caruso, the Dryden Ice Dogs, the Sudbury Cubs, the Blind River Beavers, the Espanola Paper Kings, the Sioux Eagles, Pinnacle Hockey Management, Northern Superior Brewing, and Brewers Jansen, the Wine Barrel. And good interview with Brad Cacciamillo and Cole McCain. With us now is another Cole Jarrett, the second-year part owner and head coach of the Sioux Thunderbirds of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. A guy who spent his whole life pretty much in hockey, 4 years in the Ontario Hockey League as a top defenseman with the Plymouth Whalers, went on to play professional hockey, including the National Hockey League, and then several seasons overseas where he was a captain of teams over there and had a lengthy career playing hockey overseas, and still involved in hockey. Cole Jarrett, and good to see you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Randy.
Cole, this NOJHL West Division, what's your reigning champion Sioux Thunderbirds are a part of. Pretty wild in the West. Sudbury in first place with 44 points. Blind River has 39. You guys have 35 from a pretty impressive record of 16-9-3. Then Espanola with 28. The Sioux Eagles have 26. Elliott Lake with 23. Elliott Lake just a game below 500, yet are in last place, and wow, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's I totally agree. It's been impressive this season, no question about it. Out of all the teams in our division, and it's, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's nice to have that, right? It's nice to have those good competitive games night in and night out. You know, last thing you want to be a part of is a bunch of blowouts. So we're definitely aware of what's going on in our division for sure, and you know, I think it's given our guys a jolt as well. To, you know, we didn't have the greatest start. You know, we managed to pull it together pretty quickly, but you know, I think that was part of it, just seeing how competitive our division is and getting those good competitive games made us raise our level.
Cole, you have good history from last year, your first year with the program with Ontario Hockey League draft picks. Andrew Gibson, a Greyhound draft pick, now a Greyhound regular on the defense, and Cooper Foster now with the Ottawa 67s. You've got a couple of more 16-year-olds this year, Brody McConnell, Barker, and he's a defenseman, and Landon Miller, a goaltender. Tell us about these two kids, these two top Greyhound prospects.
Yeah, both really good kids. First off, they you know, they fit right into the room, and you know, great attitudes, and you can see the energy and the passion out of both of them, which is, you know, key, especially if they want to make it at that level, the next level of the OHL. You know, Brody's a really good player. He's new to the position. I think he's just his couple of years now playing defense, so you know, you can see that he takes it to heart, and he's trying to improve every time out, and use the assets that he has, that, you know, from that he gained as a forward, which, you know, in the NOJHL has served him pretty well so far. I think he's got off to a pretty good start numbers wise, you know, and with Landon, just a real impressive kid, you know, all around, big guy, moves really well. Right, plays the position really well. He's aggressive, which I like, you know, and he's into it. He reads the game really well. You could tell that he communicates with his defenseman exceptionally well, and I think that's just part of it, being in the game and being able to read the game. I think that's a huge asset for him, as well as his size and his athletic ability.
Cole, being the reigning champions, any more pressure on the team maybe to do well, considering, you know, when you win it, you kind of get a target on your back?
Yeah, I think that's been that way for this program since its inception, right? And the Thunderbirds is always...
Back when your brother Pat played
for
them, right. Yeah.
That's right. You know, it's always a strong team, and we say that to the guys all the time. You know, if we expect that we're not going to get, you know, Sudbury's best or Elliott Lake's best, you know, you're just fooling yourself. You're going to get everybody's best every night. They're going to, you know, they're looking to, you know, especially what we did last year and what's happened in the past, they're looking to knock off the, you know, the top team, so to speak. And, you know, we haven't always been that way this year, but we definitely feel it when we're with our opponent and the effort that we see every night out of them.
Cole, let's flash back just a bit. You've had a lot of good moments in your hockey career, you know, 4 years in the OHL, as I mentioned, as a top defenseman with the Plymouth Whalers. You got to play in the National Hockey League. You got to play a lot of pro hockey overseas, as I mentioned, captain of teams over there. But back to that championship series last year against Hearst, not too many teams have ever been able to be down 3-0. Mm-hmm. Especially in a championship series, and come back to win 4 straight, and then win it in overtime in Game 7. That was just an incredible experience.
It really was. It really was. It was incredible, obviously, to be a part of. You know, as it's happening, you can't see it coming, right? It's just one day at a time. You're trying to survive each and every game, each and every period, you know. And the last game was no different, right? Going into overtime, you know, probably to our benefit, we had our backs up against the wall for the last four games, right? So it was no different heading into the overtime period. And I mean, it was...
It's like a movie, Game 7 of overtime, I mean.
Yeah, it's hard to script it any better. There's no question about it. You know, and then have Brock score the overtime winner, too. You know, it really kind of put a cherry on top, for sure, for the regular season run we had, and obviously the playoff run.
Must have been pretty thrilling over the years to be with your wife and your kids and play so much hockey and get to see the world, really, playing hockey. Correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't both of your kids born out of the country?
Yeah. My daughter was born in Sweden. She was born in Malmo, Sweden. And then our son was, Wyatt, was born in Hachinohe, Japan.
Wow. So you got to live, like, get to play hockey and see the world.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we definitely enjoyed that element of it, of the traveling and experiencing different cultures and for our kids to have that experience. I think that's what we value probably the most is the experience that they got to have. You know, at the time when you're in it, you don't think of it that way. But now looking back, you know, there's no question. For Leanne and I, it was a great experience, and I got to continue to do something that I loved. But to share that with our kids and have them remember most of it. I mean, with Lila, my oldest, more than Wyatt. But, just to have them have that experience and was tremendous.
Cole, great catching up with you, man, and best of luck to you and the birds moving forward. It seems like just yesterday I first met you when you were a kid in grade 9 or grade 10, hanging around with people like your future wife and my daughter at St. Mary's College. There were no cell phones, and I don't think, time has changed, man.
Quite a bit, but that's great, Randy. Thank you very much for having me.
Good seeing you, man. Yeah. When we return, like it or not, Brad Cacciamillia will join us right here on the Hockey North Show podcast. And sponsor identification acknowledgement for the Hockey North Show includes the Cam River Fighting Walleye, Saldan Developments, John Glavoda, Little Caesars of Sioux, Ontario, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, our host site 45 Social, the Croatian Corner, Dr. Kevin Caruso, the Dryden Ice Dogs, the Sudbury Cubs, the Blind River Beavers, the Espanola Paper Kings, the Sioux Eagles, Pinnacle Hockey Management, Northern Superior Brewing, and Brewers Jansen, the Wine Barrel. And we thank both Cole Jarrett and Cole McKay for joining us on the show tonight. And as promised, or threatened, as I like to say all the time, you know, the joke's getting a little bit tired here, Brad. I like to make fun of you. As you know that, back for his 42nd year as the co-host of the Hockey North Show is Brad Cacciamillia, even though he's only 40 years old. Hey, watch that jersey over there, man. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me on. It's always a good time.
You're learning some technology. You're making yourself irreplaceable.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to fill another void at some point.
I love it, man. I love it. Hey, let's begin with the OHL and the Greyhounds, and then let's revert back to the Great North Under 18 Hockey League. Gonna talk about them a bit. Sioux Junior Greyhounds have some big games coming up this weekend. But Brad, let's go to the before we go to the Hounds itself. Let's just go with an OHL note, a coaching addition in the OHL, a former OHL player, a former OHL assistant and associate coach, now has a head coaching job.
Yeah, Ryan Kuwabara, after the Niagara Ice Dogs fired Daniel Fitzgerald.
Who should never have been hired in the first place.
Yeah, which was an odd hire, I guess is the best way to put it, or a nice way to put it, maybe. Yeah, so Ryan Kuwabara, former Flint Firebirds associate coach, former Saginaw Spirit assistant coach.
Former standout forward with the Ottawa 67s back in the day. Yeah, I remember him well.
Yeah.
Montreal Canadiens draft pick. Yeah,
yeah, he's coming off some time, I believe, with the Wheeling Nailers.
Kuwabara.
It's a great name. And you know what? He's from the little bit, and I can't say I know him extremely well personally, but the little bit that I've seen him, obviously, around the rinks and stuff when... he was with Flint and Saginaw.
He's well thought of, for sure.
100%. He seems like he's very well liked. He seems like he's, you know, he's a guy that, you know, a lot of coaches would have, you know, would have high praise for. So I think it's, you know, I feel like this is a good hire. He's a guy that's got a familiarity behind OHL benches. He's got a very recent familiarity with the league as well. So, you know, that's going to be big for a Niagara team that's, you know, been, for lack of a better phrase, has been a dumpster fire over the last couple of years. I mean, you know, I never thought
the,
I would
the
see
previous ownership was, it did not end on a good note with mother and father owning a team, their two sons running the team, and then issues that ended with them pretty much being forced to sell because of a suspension. And now this new group, we'll see what happens there. But you know what? You know, they say sometimes you what first impressions are like, and first impressions of this new ownership, they're not really like warm and fuzzy, man. They're not.
It's like they always say, I mean, a first impression can usually be a lasting impression.
Yeah. And
I hope for the Niagara Ice Dogs that it isn't a lasting one, because it hasn't, let's face it, it has not been good. You know, like you said, the way things ended from the previous regime, I never thought I'd see a situation where it makes everything that's gone on in Flint look a little more normal.
Yeah.
But, like, it really hasn't. It's unfortunate to say that because, you know, that whole Flint situation was an absolute tire fire for a while and, you know, has still been issues off and on. Like, it's, you know, it's always something. And
it is always something in Flint.
Yeah, and it's, I hope it doesn't get to that point.
I mean, there's a reason they're called the Firebirds.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. I
mean, Ralph Nielsen loves that word, fire. Yeah. Anyway, we shouldn't get
like
too careful.
Like a few people we know.
Yes, correct. All right, what's happening with our Greyhounds, man? I read your report on Sue today following the game against the Hamilton Bulldogs. Yeah. And
speaking of things that were to go back to a word that I like to use early on in the show, interesting.
Yeah. Let's just keep this one kind of brief because that wasn't very pleasant.
Yeah, and you know what? John Dean was very succinct after the game with the media.
Succinct, Brad. You brought your thesaurus with you.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? You guys put me in that position, so I'm going to throw out a new word every now and then.
Wow, I love it, man.
You know, he was in a position where, and I can't say I blame him, it was, you know, there was absolutely nothing to like about that game. Plain and simple. Yep. I mean, if you're the Greyhounds, you can't look back at that game and say there was anything that went well. Whether it was, you know, you have the injury to Charlie Schenkel and warm-up that leads to him not being able to play. And, you know, I'm not going to say that was an issue in the game because I don't think it was, but... Yeah, it was a hard game to watch. I mean, when I was live blogging the game, kind of the running joke was, hey, this is two of the OHL's lowest scoring teams.
Yeah.
And it's been a goal scorer's dream and a goaltender's nightmare for three periods.
Well, I had a few pops when that game was going on, and I thought I was watching an NFL game for a minute there when I heard the score. But, you know, what? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, every week it seems we're on the show, we're talking about something lamenting about the Greyhounds, but you know what? They still have pretty close to a point per game. I mean, not right at it. And you know what? Very much in contention in a league where 16 teams do make the playoffs. And it just seems like, you know how you said with Niagara, it's always something? It's always something, it seems, with the Hounds this year.
Yeah, and I feel like the inexperience
Lots of hockey
factor,
left to be played,
though,
man.
You know, the inexperience factor with this team, and I think that's part of the issue, is just the fact that, you know, they don't have these guys.
And Brad,
when
you don't have confidence, confidence can never be understated, in my estimation.
I agree 100% on that. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, especially with the younger kids, I mean, you know, when we talk confidence, I don't know necessarily, I mean, you know, Bryce McConnell Barker's obviously had a good year offensively. Tyler Savard's played some good hockey for them, but, you know, for these young guys, whether it's you know, Christopher Brown getting into the league for the first time, even Ethan Montroy, who come back over the weekend and rejoined the team after starting the year in Junior A, you know, he's a kid that only played, because of injuries and other stuff, only played 28 games last year. So, you know, these are a lot of kids that don't have a lot of experience in the league right now. And I think, you know, once they get to that point, it could be, you know, they could be a fun team to watch with the youth there.
This is the Hockey North Show podcast. Randy Russell along with Brad Cacciamillo, and some hockey going on in the Sioux this weekend. Great North Under 18 Hockey League variety, as the Sioux Junior Greyhounds are home for a couple of games. They're the top team in the Great North. The team is with a record of 9-0-0. They're home to the 7-2-0 North Bay under 18 Trappers. Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Both games at John Rhodes Community Center. Junior Hounds, Brad, have overwhelmed their opponents today, outscoring them by 55-10 margin. Hudson Chitteroni leads the team in scoring with 9 goals, 8 assists, 17 points. He's one of a number of Plum 2007 birth year skaters on the Junior Hounds. They're favorable prospects for the upcoming 2023 Ontario Hockey League priority selections draft. Chitteroni would be one, including as well fellow forwards Brendan Cook, Devin Jones-McDonald, and defenseman Candon O'Neill and Declan Gallivan. This Cook kid from down the line doesn't turn 15 until December 22nd of this year, so he is a quintessential late birthday guy. And you know what? This crew are looking pretty good, as an understatement. A record of 9-0 and home to North Bay, 7-2-0, so a couple of big tests coming up for the Junior Hounds, the U18 Hounds, this weekend.
Yeah, we talked about that Timmins weekend in terms of it being kind of a big weekend for them, but you know, this is obviously huge for them. You've got a team coming in that's playing some real good hockey in North Bay, the U18 team. So, you know, this is going to be a big test for them, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that, because, you know, let's face it, it hasn't seemed like they've been tested here early on, just with how well things have been going and how good they've played offensively. And, you know, and in goal, we've talked about the goaltending on that team too, that's been, you know, maybe a little under the radar in some sense, just because they have outplayed teams so much.
Okay, we're going to pause for sponsor identification. This is the Hockey North Show podcast. And sponsor identification acknowledgement for the Hockey North Show includes the Cam River Fighting Walleye, Saldan Developments, John Glavoda, Little Caesars of Sioux, Ontario, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, our host site 45 Social, the Croatian Corner, Dr. Kevin Caruso, the Dryden Ice Dogs, the Sudbury Cubs, the Blind River Beavers, the Espanola Paper Kings, the Sioux Eagles, Pinnacle Hockey Management, Northern Superior Brewing, and Brewers Jansen, the Wine Barrel. And we're back at 45 Social in the Sioux's downtown. Randy Rustin along with Brad Cochimilio. Let's talk some Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. Coach, Sudbury in first place in the West Division with 44 points. The Cubs looking really, really good and adding another piece to the puzzle as they try to go for a championship this season. Picking up goaltender Noah Metivier, who won a championship with the Sioux Thunderbirds last season. He went over to the Lindsay Muskies in an offseason trade from the Thunderbirds over to that OJHL team, and now returning to the NOJHL and a member of the Sudbury Cubs. Metivier has played 2 games to date. Can't argue with this record. 2-0, 0.50 goals against average, and .980 save percentage. And the Sudbury Cubs really adding an obvious championship part to their team.
Yeah, we've talked about teams in that league adding players with championship pedigree, and anytime you can add a goaltender like Noah to a roster that's already off to a great start, it's huge. And for Noah, I mean, it's a great opportunity to play, you know, play a little close, you know, a little close-ish to home.
Close-ish,
close-ish. A few hours away, and that's a good goaltending group. They've got in Sudbury now as well, with Noah Bohm.
Noah Bohm's a Sudbury boy. He's an OHL draft pick of the Kingston Frontenacs. They've got him there, as well as Nathaniel Boyes.
Yeah.
My guess is that Boyes is on his way out. Bohm's a local kid. He's got a better record, and no other way to say it, I guess, but it's going to be bye-bye Boyes. Sorry.
For sure.
And I can't help my honesty. It's just.
And you know what? When you consider the fact that
I should try to have a softer touch,
but
I don't.
Noah Bohm, I mean, let's face facts here. The kid's 11-2. You know, his goals against average is under 2.5. His save percentage is over .910. I don't think, you know, a kid that's played that well to start the year, I don't think when you bring in a Noah Metivier, I don't think this is the type of kid that, you know, you look at now. They can platoon these two guys going forward and put yourselves in a pretty darn good position going forward between the pipes.
As I said, bye-bye, boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blind River hanging tough. Yeah. Charlie Burns and Gavin DeZano, two Sault Ste. Marie boys playing for Blind River, giving them really good goaltending. Noah Aboflan, a former Sault Junior Greyhounds player from the U18 program. He's got 5 or 6 goals there, playing well. Blind River continuing to hang tough. And what about the Espanola Paper Kings? They've got a kid, Lucas Signoretti, who's lighting it up to the tune of 2 points a game. Brad, this kid had a choice of places where to go. BCHL, the OJHL. He's a former second-round pick of the Erie Otters, 40th overall, and he picked Espanola. So, you know what? I talked to Jason Rapsovich, the Espanola owner and head coach, and he said they're just trying to get Signoretti back to the OHL, but what a place to land on behalf of, what an addition for Espanola to get a kid like Signoretti.
No question. You know, like you said, you know, this is a kid who's averaging a goal a game, averaging 2 points a night. We've talked about this on the show before. It says a lot about the league that, you know, guys like this that have opportunities, or guys that, you know, guys like you guys mentioned.
He could have went anywhere.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, guys like McConnell Barker and Landon Miller playing with the Thunderbirds. It's the NOJHL is becoming a place where kids know that they're going to come in and develop. And, you know, for
I think Signoretti saw those lime green uniforms. He thought, I want to wear one of those.
You know what? I wouldn't blame him. We've talked about it before. We're both fans of the
I new... hope to have one of these hanging here before this season's over. Jason Rapsovich promised me one, but nothing yet.
Yeah, they're solid jerseys, and I mean, a solid player, like you said. I mean, this is a kid that, you know, he's got a bright future ahead of him just with the way he's played this year and going forward.
Okay, let's go back to the OHL and wrap up this edition of the Hockey North Show podcast, Brad. And Memorial Cup, it's the OHL's turn in 2024, and 4 teams have put in bids, including the Niagara Ice Dogs. If that happens, we may have to stop covering this league. The Kingston Frontenacs, the Saginaw Spirit, maybe that's a good one there. And the Sioux Greyhounds will go for to host the 2024 Memorial Cup tournament. And part of it, Brad, is, you know, when they're picking the who's going to be the host team, they want to have a good team, like a team that's going to be competitive, overly competitive, actually, in the mix. So, I know it's only this season, but if you look ahead to next season, in your estimation, your humble estimation, what do you think the Greyhounds' chances are of having a highly competitive team next season and then winning the bid?
On nights that the Greyhounds play well this year, they look like a team that could be really tough to play against next year and a team that could be very competitive. The issue with that is when you see nights like the way they played in Hamilton, the big thing would be, you know, taking those low points and building off them, and, you know, as odd as that would sound, because, you know, I feel like this team has some potential to be very good. I would hesitate to call them a championship contender at this point, but I feel like out of the 4 teams in the mix, you know, a lot is said about the group that they have coming back on the ice. And, you know, Saginaw's group shouldn't be too bad next year. They should be pretty decent. Kingston, I'm not 100% sure on. Niagara, with all the ups and downs there, I don't feel like the on-ice product is going to be something we should be looking at this point, because I don't think it's going to be in a position where you would give the team hosting ability. I feel like the Greyhounds and Saginaw might potentially have, you know, the two groups that you would consider most when you're considering quality of team going forward.
And for those fans of the Kingston Frontenacs who may be listening, this would be their only way of getting into the Memorial Cup, because Kingston's never been to a Mem Cup, or even close. I don't think.
I was going to say I can't remember if they've been to a league final.
Please pick us.
Yeah. You know, and like we were saying off air before we started, when, you know, looking at facilities, hey, Niagara's got a great one in the Meridian Center. Yeah. Kingston, the whatever they're calling it now, Leon Center, I think.
I don't know.
K-Rock or something. Whatever the rink is down there. Like, those are 3 good facilities. I feel like Saginaw, it's an older rink that's been kept up well, but it still is an older facility. Yeah. So I feel like they would probably be the one. I don't want to say major knock, but that would be, you know, maybe a concern going forward. But, you know, they're in a position where you've got three pretty good rinks to choose from between the rink here and the rinks in Kingston and Niagara.
So you, okay, do you think, okay, and trying to be unbiased here, the Greyhounds have a good shot at this?
I feel like they do. I mean, I
when because you go we could have got it a couple years ago, when there, but then COVID interrupted it. I think we were like, you know, finalists. Were we not along with Oshawa?
Yeah, and I feel like
Oshawa.
Yeah.
Oshawa.
I feel like it's a position where the theory that came in at that point, where the OHL wanted, you know, the quote unquote smaller markets or the quote unquote smaller facilities to host, I feel like that's still in play. And talking to Tim Lukenda, it does seem like that's still something that's on the mind.
Well, we have a downtown rink. We have downtown downtown hotels where they can, you know, the teams can stay. There's the Delta, the Holiday Inn Express, the Sleep Inn. What else is there?
The Travelodge. There's, you know, you've got four hotels within walking distance.
We got Airbnbs around here too.
Yeah, that realistically, like, you know, just on the hotel aspect alone, you
team can stay at your house with your mom and dad. Yeah, I mean,
they'll treat them well.
Oh, absolutely. Pass the meatballs every night.
Then I mean, if it's the Greyhounds, they'd probably ask for one of the other teams to be there, because then the other teams won't be able to skate afterwards. It'll be so fun. I mean, the hotel situation is probably about as ideal as can be when you can have all four teams within walking distance of the rink. So I think that's you know, that checks a good box for the Greyhounds. And, you know, and the fact that all the hotels in the city are close enough to the rink that you don't feel like you're going to be driving for an hour just to get to the rink from the hotel.
Okay, that wraps up this edition of the Hockey North Show podcast. We want to thank you, Brad, as usual, and our splendid producers, the lead producer, Steven Jansen, the secondary producer, Mary Desimone. I'm not really sure what she does here. She does look pretty. I mean, she looks good. She has headphones on. Pretending,
like, she, I see, whatever she does, she does a very good
pretending
job.
She knows what's going on. I see her. She got a wine glass around here somewhere, but that's okay. I mean, that's not that I'm drinking 7 Up here, but anyway, and of course, I mean, Steven Jansen, of course, like I said, we have to suck up to him because we need him around here, right? And the sponsors, of course, of the show, and we'll catch you back here next week, man.
Look forward to it.
Okay, sounds good.